Well, again, good afternoon, brethren. Thank you, Mr. Chance. I'd like to begin today by sharing with you a story, true story, of a situation that was experienced in God's church. This was in a congregation several years ago, did not happen here, but I was present in this congregation at the time that it did. Sabbath services had concluded, sermon was over, the brethren were just all seated together in a fellowship area. They were gathered around tables, snacking, eating some food, conversing, fellowshipping. At the table where I was seated, there were probably about 8, maybe 10 people crowded around. There was a young mother. She had a little girl, little toddler, who was there with her. I don't know, the little girl might have been somewhere around 1 year old. She was literally a toddler. She was starting to walk. She wasn't very stable yet, but she was walking around on her own, as we all know, we're glad to see when babies come to us and when they grow. And this little toddler was walking. She came over to where her mother was seated, and she put up her hands like this, as children do. And we all understood what she wanted, as did her mother. So her mother stood up and reached out to lift the little girl into her arms. The little girl had her hands up like this. Her mother just took her by the hands and lifted quickly to pull her up into the air. Well, on this particular day, this young mother was wearing kind of an open flowing dress. It probably maybe came to around her knees, maybe a little bit above. It was summer, it was hot, and inadvertently, as this mother pulled her little child up into the air, the little girl kind of arched her legs, and her toes caught the hem of her mother's dress. And with that upward lift by her hands, as her mother lifted her up, her toes underneath the edge of her mother's dress lifted her mother's dress high into the air. It was quite an upward thrust. The bottom of her hemline, I think you ladies call it, was pushed high above this young mother's waist. We were all gathered around the table there watching. We were watching this little child. We weren't trying to leer or to spy out anything that we shouldn't. But when this inadvertent action occurred, we all saw everything that transpired. I remember as a little child hearing that little rhyme on the playground, "I see London, I see France, I see Susie's underpants." Well, we all knew what color underpants this young lady was wearing that day. We couldn't help but, because our eyes were fixed on that mother and this little child. Well, the mother knew very clearly what had transpired. She knew instantly. I want to tell you about her reaction. She said not a word to any of us. Not a word. She didn't say, "Oh, please, pretend you didn't see that." She didn't say, "Oh, I wish I could die." No, she said nothing. Do you know what she said to the child? Nothing. She did not scold that child. She didn't say to that child, "Oh, you have embarrassed me horribly. Do you know what you've done to me?" No. She reacted perfectly. Had she scolded the child wouldn't have understood. It was an innocent, inadvertent accident. The child had not deliberately tried to lift her mother's skirt into the air. No, it truly was an accident. Had the mother scolded the child would not have understood. The mother handled this situation very well. Do you know what the people gathered around the table said? Same thing. We didn't say anything. No one laughed. No one chuckled. No one guffawed. No one said, "Oh, come back and do this again next week. We'll be here watching." No. No one said anything that was inappropriate. Everyone seemed to understand this was an unfortunate situation, and we all felt very sorry for this young mother. But she handled the situation commendably. If any one of us had traded places and been in her shoes that day, we would have been hard-pressed to do any better. The mother handled the situation with discretion. Discretion. And that's going to be the subject of the sermon today. I'd like to begin with several definitions. According to my Random House College Dictionary, the word discreet is an adjective. It's a describing word. It means to be judicious in one's conduct or speech, especially with regard to maintaining silence about something of a delicate nature. It means to be prudent and to be circumspect. The word discretion is a noun, and it is the power or the right to decide or to act according to one's own judgment. It's the quality of being discreet or prudent. And prudent means to be careful, wisely cautious, especially about preparing for the future. Well, now that we've got the definitions out of the way, let's get started into the sermon. Our SPS, or title, is simply this: Discretion is a Godly Value. Discretion is a godly value. The Bible heralds discretion as a very good thing. Let's begin in the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, that's one of those T books that comes after Thessalonians and Timothy, and then follows Titus. In chapter 2 here, we're going to break in verse 3. Paul here is giving instruction. He says, "The older women likewise should be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children." Notice verse 5, "to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Here Paul says the older women should be teaching the younger women some of these traits: to be discreet, to be chaste, to be good. The word discreet is translated from the Hebrew word sophron, and it means to be safe or sound in mind, to be self-controlled, moderate as to opinion or passion, to be sober, to be temperate, literally to be discreet. Let's turn back to the Old Testament now, Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. We're going to get some other insight about this quality. In Genesis chapter 41, we're breaking into the story about Joseph when he was in Egypt. And of course, we all remember Joseph's story, how he was sold as a slave by his brothers. He ended up in Egypt, and God was with him. He interpreted dreams, and he came before the Pharaoh, you'll recall, and explained those dreams about the seven plump, fat ears of corn, followed by the seven poor, weak ears of corn, and the story about the dream about the seven plump cows and the seven that were very gaunt. And he explained to the Pharaoh, we're going to see 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And so that sets the stage for where we're going to begin today. In chapter 41, verse 33, now therefore, this is Joseph speaking, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. And in verse 39, notice what Pharaoh said. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Now the word here that's translated discerning, that comes from the Hebrew word bayin. But it's interesting because in the King James, the old King James, the authorized version, or the Revised Standard Version, that word is translated discreet. And it means to distinguish, to understand, to perceive, to deal wisely, to be prudent. Very, very much the same as what we've seen so far. Well, we're going to spend most of our time today in the book of Proverbs. So you can go ahead and turn over there. We will start in chapter 1. In Proverbs 1, we're going to start by reading verse 4. The Proverbs, again and again, in verse after verse, herald discretion as being a good trait, a valuable trait, that a young man, anyone, would be well advised to gain. In Proverbs 1, verse 4, we're told here about wisdom and things, that it's intended to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Here in Solomon's Proverbs, he is saying that discretion is something that is useful and good for a young man to acquire. It's something that he or likewise a woman would do well to acquire early in life. The sooner the better. Look across the page, Proverbs 2, verse 11. Proverbs 2, verse 11. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. We're told here that this quality of being discreet, of having discretion, will be something that can preserve us, to keep us safe, to safeguard us. Notice in Proverbs 3, verse 21. Proverbs 3, verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Discretion is something that we should have. Don't let it go. Hang on to it. Make it part of your inward being, part of your core, something that's in your mind, something that's in your heart, as far as the way that you're going to conduct your life. You're going to do it with discretion. Turn over to Proverbs 5, verse 2. Proverbs 5, verse 2. That you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. Again, hang on to, preserve discretion. May your lips keep knowledge. Do you remember at the beginning I told about that young mother and her unfortunate incident with her little toddler child? She was very careful about what she said. She said nothing. She didn't say anything that she'd have to regret later on. She acted with discretion. Now let's turn over to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, let's look at verse 22. Proverbs 11, verse 22. Here the author of Proverbs writes, as a ring of gold in a swine's, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. That's just one short little verse, but brethren, there is a mountain contained therein. Do you see the contrast that is made here? A lovely woman and a swine, a hog, a pig. We're told here that a lovely woman without discretion, it's just like putting a golden ring in the snout of a hog. One of my favorite photographs hangs on our living room wall at home. It was taken just about 2 years ago when your song leader today, Austin Chance, married my daughter, Abby. I love that photograph. Some of you were there on the day of her wedding. She was wearing a beautiful gown. I can't think of any time when she looked more becoming, more lovely, more beautiful. I was a happy father of the bride. And when the time came, my son-in-law took that gold ring and placed it upon her finger. It was a beautiful event, beautiful day, beautiful memory. But here in this proverb, we're told for a young woman who's lovely and beautiful, but lacking in discretion, you might as well just go ahead, take that gold ring. Don't put it on that beautiful woman's finger. Put it through the nose, the snout of a hog. Ridiculous. Horrible thought. That's not where you want a gold ring. You want a gold ring on the finger of a beautiful young woman. But if she doesn't have discretion, here we're told, you might as well put that ring through the nose of a hog. That's a striking thought. I don't know about you, but I like to look at pretty brides wearing their rings. And from the grin I'm getting from my son-in-law back there, I think he feels similarly. Well, let's continue here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. And I will just point out to you all, do you notice how these chapters are just going sequentially? We're going forward. We're not jumping around from the beginning to the end and back and forth. I'm trying to make this as easy and cohesive as possible. Chapter 19. Notice verse 11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Now the word here that is translated discretion means literally discretion, prudence, wisdom, sense, or reason. It means proper understanding. That's what we're told here in verse 11. So if a man has discretion, if he has this kind of prudence and wisdom, that's going to make him slow to anger, and it will be his glory to overlook a transgression. Now, I'm going to recommend you just mark this spot in your Bible, because we're going to come right back to it. Let's turn over to James chapter 1, back to the New Testament. Now, here I was just bragging about not making you jump around in the book all that much, but now you're going to have to for a minute. James 1, we're going to read verses 19 to 20. James chapter 1, starting in verse 19, James says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Be quick to hear, be slow to wrath. Brethren, this is discretion in action. Somebody pointed out to me years ago, I have two ears, they're kind of big ones. My family probably doesn't think they work very well, though. You could chuckle at that if you wanted to. But I have two ears, but just one mouth. We probably should spend more time listening and maybe a little less speaking. Be swift to hear, but slow to cry out in anger. This is discretion in action. Well, let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 19. I told you we would. Proverbs 19. Let's go back to verse 11. In Proverbs 19, verse 11, we read, "It is the discretion of a man that will make him slow to anger." But the latter part of the verse says, "His glory is to overlook a transgression." Notice here, this thought is coupled with discretion. Overlooking someone else's transgression, someone else's wrong, someone else's slight, someone else's blunder. Do you ever have a situation like that where you overlooked something that someone else did that was wrong? I guess I have, but more importantly, have you ever had a situation where the shoe is on the other foot and someone else overlooked your blunder, your slight, your wrongdoing? You know, I accidentally cut somebody off in traffic just yesterday. Didn't see him back there. And suddenly there he was right in my rear window, right on my tailgate. Oh, well, sorry. Didn't mean to do that. Was thankful we didn't have a fender bender. I hadn't pulled out in front of him on purpose. It was inadvertent. I'm sorry about that. I was glad that he was willing to overlook my blunder. Any of you ever had an experience like that? I think we probably all have from time to time. And here we're admonished to likewise do that. Be willing to overlook a transgression, a problem, a slight. And here we're told that that's a glory to us. That's a good thing. You know what glory is. It's exalted praise or honor. That's what we're told will be the result of being slow to be angry about such things. Well, let's continue. Discretion also has much to do with our words. Discretion has much to do with our words. Let's go back this time to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to read one verse only, and that is verse 16. Leviticus 19, verse 16. "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." Don't go about as a talebearer. Well, talebearer is not really a word that I use on a common basis. I probably go 2 or 3 days or maybe 2 or 3 years without using the word talebearer. But a talebearer is a person who spreads gossip which may cause harm to others. And God says here in Leviticus, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs. Notice in chapter 11, notice verse 13. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Well, a talebearer, a gossip, tells stories, repeats secrets. But he who is of a faithful servant will conceal a matter to keep it quiet. We need to use discretion, because even when we are not sworn to secrecy, sometimes some things are just better left unsaid. They're better just kept to ourselves and not shared with anyone else, if someone else could be harmed by it. Let's turn forward a couple more pages here to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, let's look at verse 8. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. You know what that's like when somebody's got the news, the gossip that's going around. People think, oh, tell me, I want to know. And they're like tasty trifles. Oh, it's so exciting and tasty to find out. Because, well, do you know what so-and-so did or what happened over here? Those are the words of a talebearer. And we're admonished to not listen to those, to not participate in that sort of thing. We shouldn't do that, because we're told they go right into our innermost self. They're not something that we can easily rid ourselves of, because that becomes a habit, and it's not a good habit. Let's turn over a couple more pages to Proverbs 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. A talebearer reveals secrets, just as I've said here momentarily before. Don't associate with people like that. You don't want to be someone who runs around with gossips. You don't want that to be something that people think about you. Finally, along this line, notice Proverbs 26. Verse 20. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Without gossip, without someone who's spreading stories, we're told that strife ends. I like the comparison there about without wood, the fire goes out. I remember a case very, very much illustrating that point. I was young. I was still in college. I was home on winter vacation. And I remember the minister came over to my parents' house. I was still living at home, my parents' home. And we had scheduled an appointment. He came over to counsel me for baptism. And I remember my parents politely just made themselves scarce. They went off somewhere else. My father had built a fire in the fireplace down in our family room. We had a nice family room downstairs. It was carpeted, there was panel on the walls, and there was a fireplace, and it was cozy. We spent many happy family occasions down there, and my dad had it all ready there for me when the minister came. And I remember it was just the minister and me. We were sitting there across from each other on a couple chairs, I guess. And I noticed the fire was starting to burn down. But I was listening very closely to all that the minister was saying to me. And I thought, Scott, if you don't get up and put some wood on that fire, it's going to go out. But I was afraid that the minister would think I wasn't focusing on him and what he was saying. I mean, baptism, that's a serious matter. I wanted him to know that's where my focus was. So I kept these eyes focused on him. And the fire went out because I didn't put wood in it. And he didn't say anything about it. And that was fine. We just enjoyed the dying embers then. And I thought afterwards, well, Scott, you could have just said, oh, excuse me, Mr. Minister, I really need to put some wood on the fire here. But if I had really been a good, conscientious student of the Bible, I would have been able to quote this verse to him and said, well, I've got to put some wood on that fire or it's going to go out. Anyway, it's true. You don't put wood on a fire, it does go out. But the same is also true about tale bearing. We don't want to put wood on that fire. We don't want to do that. Let's turn just a few pages forward here to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, from some more wisdom here, I believe from Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 3, notice verse 7. I always like this section of Scripture talking about all these different times, a time for this and a time for that. And in verse 7, we read, there is a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Sometimes we don't need to say anything. Sometimes we would be prudent and discreet to just not speak. That's a hard lesson to learn. Far too often, I would have been well advised to just close my mouth and not say anything instead of saying the wrong thing. There's a time to just be quiet. Discretion can tell us when to speak, and more importantly, often, when not to speak. Well, discretion also has much to do with our actions, not just our words, but our actions. Discretion also has much to do with our actions. Let's go back to Genesis, but this time we're going to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 25. Genesis 2, verse 25. This is God's talking here, or he has spoken to Adam and Eve. But notice here in verse 25, we read, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So Adam and Eve were in the garden as God created them. They were both naked. They were not ashamed. And that's fine and proper for a husband and wife together to be in each other's company, to not be clothed. That was fine. But if we turn over just another page here to Genesis chapter 3, things change. Verse 7. Genesis 3, verse 7. This is after they took of the fruit of the forbidden tree. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, let's jump up to verse 21. They started out with just some makeshift coverings from nothing very permanent, just some leaves. Verse 21, we're told, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Obviously, God intended his people, his creation, to be clothed, because there were going to be more people on the earth after Adam and Eve. They had children. They populated the whole earth. And it was no longer appropriate for them to just be naked all the time. So God clothed them. Well, what does that have to do with discretion? Well, a lot. I mean, we started off today talking about clothing. We talked about that young mother who was exposed before a crowd of her brethren at church. It was inadvertent and accidental. But it was awkward, and she was embarrassed. And that's appropriate, because God wants us to be appropriately covered, clothed, attired. Well, let's look over just a couple more chapters now to chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 20 to 23. Genesis 9, verses 20 to 23. This is after the flood now, in verse 20. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and he became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Shem and Japheth covered their father's nakedness. They approached him with their backs to him, so their eyes did not behold him in a state of nakedness. They exercised proper discretion. They used wisdom. They honored their father. They did that which was proper. They didn't cause embarrassment or shame. They used discretion. Sometimes we might exercise discretion by not doing something that we have the right or the power to do, because it might not be wise to do that thing. Discretion truly is wisdom in action. Discretion is often coupled with thoughts of kindness and goodness, with thoughts of decency and propriety, thoughts of modesty and temperance. All go along with discretion. I'd like to conclude with another biblical example of discretion, and this is found in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 10. 2 Samuel, chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. 2 Samuel, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. We're going to be reading about King David. It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. Then David said, "I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me." So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, "Do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it?" Therefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, "Wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return." Brethren, this is a biblical example of discretion, coming from King David. Remember, he's a man that is described as being one after God's own heart. David was concerned for his servants' feelings. Remember, we just read, they were greatly ashamed, greatly embarrassed. David did not want them to be exposed in this condition. He wanted to spare them the shame of returning home in this condition. Presumably, they could acquire new garments, but it would take some time for their beards to grow. David treated his servants with discretion. I remember one time on a television sitcom seeing one fellow play a joke on his buddy, his friend, while he was asleep. The other fellow shaved off half of his mustache, and that was the way that the show ended for the day, just you know, kind of a laughing joke that he played on his buddy. Presumably he would have shaved off the other half too and then waited for it to grow back. Well, at this time, men were wearing beards pretty much all the time. Everything that I've ever read or heard from the Bible, that was the case, that was the custom. And so this would have been a very shameful thing. And to have their robes cut off at the middle, at their buttocks? Now, I've seen some women and some girls in my life wear some pretty short skirts. I've seen some mini skirts that, oh wow, I thought were very short. But one that's cut off at the buttocks? That really doesn't sound like a skirt to me. That sounds more like a shirt tail. I'm sure these men were very much ashamed. David exercised discretion in trying to spare them from that embarrassment and shame. God's word is replete with admonition for his people to acquire and to use discretion in their daily lives. Today, we have discussed several real-life experiences which demonstrate the need for and the value of discretion. Discretion can guide us through difficult and delicate matters. Discretion may help us to spare others, as well as ourselves, from embarrassment. Discretion tells us that sometimes we just should not tell anyone. Sometimes we should just not speak. Discretion truly can help us to show love, to show honor, and to show respect to our neighbor. This is why we can all benefit from the godly attribute of discretion.